All right, this is Centaur Views. My name is No Sense.
And this is Victoria.
This is a podcast where two Sagittarius people come together and give their opinionated views on cultural topics.
Disclaimer, you will be offended. Don't at me. Welcome to this week's podcast. This is Centaur Views with Victoria.
And No Sense.
Make sure you like, share, and subscribe to our podcast on Spotify and Anchor. We're still working on getting on Apple Music, so thank you for being patient with us.
All right, so we're going to go ahead and kick it off with our two cents.
Victoria, what's your two cents this week?
First of all, I thought you were going first. But second of all, so my two cents is about how strong Black women are, and I say that because I was washing my hair the other day. I don't know what day it is anymore, but I was washing my hair, and I just was so tired because my arms hurt. Like,
I'm lifting the world.
Being in my goddamn hair the whole time. Like, it's a struggle. It's a process to be a Black woman. And I just want them to know that they're appreciated. Like, it took me all motherfucking day just to wash and do my hair. Like, I still have product in my hair. For those of you who don't know, I have locks. They're past my bra line. And every time I wash my hair now, it's getting to a process where I may have to, like, get some help. Like, I have to go to a salon or something because it's getting too long for me to do without flipping out. My anxiety cannot deal. Like, it took all day. And it still wasn't dry. After I dried it, I still had product in my hair. Even after I did a apple cider rinse, where anybody was like, "Oh, you should do an apple cider rinse." No, I did that. Still had product in my hair. Thank you. Yeah, we're strong. Black women are unbelievably strong. We're magical. And I just want to let all the Black women know out there that I see you, I am you, I love you, I uplift you, and you're awesome. Yeah, that's it.
Okay.
All that's from doing my hair. Like, that's like, yeah.
Quarantine, just got me by myself, and so I started thinking about something. You know, because you're like a DC person, you're like a Marvel girl, right? Of course. So I was thinking about Superman. Oh my god. But the thing is, a lot of people, like, it's like kind of a side joke about Superman. And Clark Kent, you know, when he puts on his glasses, he's Clark Kent, but people, they're like, how do you get out of the sky?
Yeah.
That's so I started thinking.
That's why DC's wet.
But no, I was thinking, here's a theory.
Superman could be autistic.
And the reason I say that is because autistic people, They really are talented. They have very, very high strength in a lot of areas.
Mm-hmm. Except for socialness. That's usually where they have their issues.
And when he puts on those glasses, that's like his security blanket, if you say. Because a lot of kids, their parents will get them something when they're around a social event that they can concentrate on, so it might be like a watch or a bracelet or something like that.
So for Superman, it's his glasses.
Well, no, check it out.
He puts on his glasses and he can be a regular
person. You know, he works a regular job. He has a girlfriend and stuff. And the people around him
know that he's autistic.
Yes. And so since they're not assholes, and they appreciate him for saving their lives every week, they just let him be, right?
I can't.
Like, I'm not, like, really, like, I'm not really trying to be funny, but it's a theory that makes sense if you think about it.
You know I can't take anything serious.
Whatever, that's my theory.
Okay.
Yeah, that's my 2 cents.
So,
I'm 100% serious. I'm not trying to be funny. I just think that to me,
it makes sense. Cool
if they came out with it.
That
it's a believable story.
Superman's autistic.
Yeah. Think about it. He's super, like, he can do everything. Super, but he's just socially awkward.
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, they already had, like, they made a. A lot of people are making a link between the Man of Steel movie and when he was younger.
Mm-hmm.
So I think you can tie that in. And think about like it'll be like a very good thing for kids who suffer from it.
So you try to look up to make
representation.
Yeah,
representation. I would love that.
Okay, we heard it here first on Sitar Reviews. So if Marvel,
I need my money, DC.
Right. Oh, I forgot. Yeah. So if DC come out with Superman being autistic, you know where they got the idea from. One of our viewers. Yeah.
Yeah, so that's our 2 cents. And now we're going to go ahead and get into part two of our discussion on mental health.
Yeah, as far as the relationships, like, I think also the cultivate your relationships. I give back. Like, I remember joining a group that was supposed to be, it was initially supposed to be, like, giving back to the community. It didn't turn out that way, but the relationships I formed in that group, like, it was like a coalition. They've helped me out a lot. Just being, like, a mentor to someone that's younger than me that's dealing with mental health issues and, like, trauma and not being able to cope with the stresses of being an adult, because, like, I don't think that, like, they prepare us for this shit. Yeah, nobody prepares us for adulthood. They just, like, they make it look good and fun, but it's not. Being a responsible adult is not fun. There's this girl, I don't even call her a girl. She's a grown woman now. I got a daughter, and I wouldn't say mentor, but I just share my experience with her, and even now, like, she texted me yesterday, asked me what I was up to. I think hearing her tell me that I helped her makes me feel better, because I'm like, I always tell her, I'm not helping you, I'm just helping myself through you. And that's not, like, selfish or anything, or, like, condescending either. It's just, like, I see myself in you. I see the things that I went through. And I know this helped me get to where I'm at. And
it's all a part of helping others.
Yeah.
Helping, you know,
to help myself. Because I'm like, girl, we talk about our men. And I'm like, girl, I'm going through the same thing. And it's therapy. Like, having girlfriends. Because it's good to have. I believe in love and being with the masculine man and everything. But having that relationship with women is essential. And I think the same thing with men. It's just that I wish that men cultivated their relationships with women better than that, or hold them in the same esteem. Y'all, I'm holding my hand up like y'all can see me. Hold them in the same esteem and light as they do with their as their homeboys. I just was thinking about
bros before hoes, yeah.
Future and Yo Gotti. It's like, you be soft on these niggas, but you hard on these hoes. Nigga, you're not a goat for that. Like, you're gay. That's another episode, but that's the episode. Yeah, just cultivating your relationships. Check up on your friend. Don't be that friend, but, like, nobody checks up on me. I used to be like that in my head. But I always, like, I try to reach out to everybody now. I have so much. Being an adult is hard, and juggling your schedules is hard. But reach out to people, not just because that's just something to do or you think that they're going through something, just because we need each other.
Yeah, and I mean, just like with you, me and you, before the podcast, we always stay connected, you know? So I think with both of us always, not even saying we were always going through something, but knowing that where it could end up, we made sure that we checked up on each other.
Yeah.
But even like with like my best friend, we don't talk every day, but every Wednesday and every Friday, we always send a gift on Facebook. It'll be like a hump day gift and a Friday gift, like just like, yay, it's Friday. And it's different, but we know that if we don't hear from each other on those days, you need to check up on the other one.
Wow, that's a good idea.
You know, and it's that way you're not just saying, hey, how you doing? And just, you know, random stuff. Of course, there's days where something major happens or, you know, you just want to talk. And yeah, so we do touch base like that. And then, of course, we just hang out and stuff. But those are like our days to make, hey, you know, it's your best friend just checking in, right, making sure everything's cool. So, I mean, certain things, and even, you know, like, I don't have a lot of male friends that I'm really, like, close to. But I have, it's a group of guys I went to high school with. We got our own group chat and Facebook. So, like, when things happen, like, if, you know, my homeboy just had a baby, and he'll post stuff like that. But it'll be like during the holidays, yo, you know, or somebody's birthday, have birthday king, you know, stuff like that.
Right.
But then there's one of, the other two, they're out of state. There's another one, he still stays in the city. And so he'll just be like, you know, he'll call me like on a random Sunday and we'll just sit on the phone for about 45 minutes and just catch up.
Right.
Not needing or asking each other for anything, but just making sure that everybody, you know, each other is straight.
Yeah, I don't think you have to, like, dig into people's personal business, because even if they're your friends for a long time, there's still stuff that they don't, like, I guess, want to tell you. I think it's important and essential, like you said, especially now with this quarantine thing. Like, I was not okay yesterday. It's like, I text you, like, this random, like, about the our spotlight, but I was like, in about my 2 cents, I was like, I'm not okay, like, I can't go date, like, what the fuck am I supposed to do? And I had like a mini panic attack in here. I calmed myself down, but yeah, it's essential when you're not feeling yourself or out of balance, it's essential to reach out to somebody. It's not, don't say, oh, nobody care about me. That's like, people do care about you. People have lives, and it's not personal.
And then don't put something on
Facebook
and expect people to reach out, because a lot of people, you know, Facebook is an algorithm, and so like
you they may don't or may not
yeah
see it.
Somebody who you want to see it, they might not see it, and so they might not say, hey, maybe I need to check up on them. The biggest thing you can do is just call somebody, text somebody if you need them.
Like that meme going around is like, you're not it may not be your fault that you went through the trauma, but it is your responsibility to heal yourself. Like, it is, it's definitely your responsibility to make sure that you're healthy, including mentally.
And I mean, even like, my family, they do a group chat, and it's just the family. And they just share stuff. And even like now, you know, they're just joking in the chat because they don't, everybody's home, you know, stuck at home in quarantine.
And people know that you're human, because I remember I had a panic attack. My car had broke down and I was exhausted because I was working full time, working 7 days on my part time, and I'm struggling to pay my fucking rent, and my car had messed up while I was doing a Lyft ride. And I called my coworker because she's been going through grief because her mom just passed last year. So I've been helping her with that. And I just had a full-blown panic attack in front of her. And it made her see me we bonded over that because she saw me. She was like, okay, this woman that's strong and just telling me to keep going out, everything's gonna be okay. Like in that moment of weakness, she saw me and she was able to comfort me. And you never know, even if somebody else is going through something, like she's really going through it. She was able to calm me down. She's like, it's gonna be okay. And I immediately just stopped like and started laughing because one, I'm goofy and two, I'm uncomfortable. So I laugh when I'm uncomfortable. But she was able to help me. Like those type of relationships, keep those, cultivate them, reach out, share things, and don't be afraid to be vulnerable around your friends.
And I mean, and even like people who, like with my Wild Out group, you know, these are guys that I probably don't have their you know, all of their numbers and stuff like that, but we see each other every week.
Mm-hmm.
So especially like times like this where if something comes up and we not getting together, it hit different because you know, you appreciate that because
mm-hmm.
we spend an hour and a half with these who all we do is bust jokes on each other. We crack right. jokes. And so, yeah. And so it is no stress of the outside world. Now, mind you, we do have, you know, you do have like your one or two people who you know more about them besides the stand up.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just the fact that it's a group of guys who we all just share that thing that has us separated from all our real world issues for that time.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I say like your stuff that's routine, like stuff like that, like it does, like it can change a bad day like that. Like
that's definitely, you know, a coping just, mechanism.
Yeah,
a healthy to see them. An active coping mechanism.
So it doesn't have to be necessarily like your friends, but like any type of, you know, if you go to like
right.
a gym class, a spin class or something, mm-hmm. where it's the same type of people, just, you know, paint class. Something,
sometimes,
you know?
It doesn't have necessarily, because my coworkers have become a family outside, because we just had a major change in like the layout of our, when I say layout, it's like the members on our team. And all of us like came to work the next Monday and was like, I ain't feeling this shit. We were able to like confide in each other. Like, I don't adjust to change very well. I don't like this. I'm not ready to meet new people. Like, we were all like sad and gloomy. I had a horrible attitude with everybody, especially my, never mind. But yeah, I had a bad attitude with everybody. So it doesn't necessarily have to be your friends. It could be
just like-minded individuals,
yeah,
in the like same situation.
That validates and sees you. I think everybody wants to be seen and heard. We gonna move on?
Yeah.
So we at the beginning of the show, I said about remission. I got this from my little baby cousin. She was like, she was in remission of her anxiety, and I was like, yo, I'm gonna use that. So remission. With remission, I know that sometimes you could, like when my mom had leukemia, she relapsed. And she was in remission, the cancer was gone, and then she relapsed and it came back. Has there been any time, like, I know with clinical depression, from my understanding, it comes back periodically.
Mm-hmm.
How do you maneuver now? Or do you feel like the worst part of your depression is you've passed and you got a better grip?
I never think that. Mm. I never think, because, you know, like, there's certain things that I haven't lost a parent, you know, so there's that, and so there's certain things that I'm probably not set up to deal with, that I may have to deal with later, but as far as, like, just when I have bad days, you have to know that it's, you have to take it one day at a time, which I think is one of the stupid things, because we have to live, that's how you live life. Just,
I say everybody's one moment living. At a time when I'm going through.
But I mean, nobody can take it a week at a time.
One moment. Like, right now, I'm not all right.
But
after I eat, I might be okay.
you have to realize that, you know, it's a day and it will pass. And just not give in to the things that you... like, I notice, especially, like, because with drugs and stuff, that's easy to be like, I'm not going to dip into that.
Right.
First of all, because illegal. So it's like, if I do this, then there's ramifications for that. That could domino effect, and then my depression would be way worse because now I can't afford, you know what I'm saying, certain things. But like, especially with like alcohol, you have to think, one of the biggest things that stopped me is with beer. I like beer, you know, vodka is that's still an acquired taste for me. But you know, beer is a lot of empty calories in that. And so you, when you doing that, you sitting and being that I was drinking so much in the past, my tolerance is high. So to get me to feel any type of tipsiness, I got a 6-pack I ain't really gonna do. So and then not only that, but
I'm shaking my head.
But,
nah, I cannot.
But the fact that, you know, I've come to learn that with, I mean, any type of drug or beer or alcohol, it's gonna like multiply what you feel. So, you know, I have no problem with drinking when you're celebrating and you're happy because you're gonna express that.
Right.
But when you're down, it's not okay to just drink yourself because you're just gonna drink yourself basically lower.
Right.
So I try to steer myself away from that. And just, if I can, I try to write stuff out. You know, poetry is one of like my side things to do. So that's most of the time when I have my most creative is when I can express something, when I'm going through something.
Oh yeah. I had to, Michael Mary asked me, he was like, "Have you been writing?" I was like, "I've been writing, but all of it's sad. I don't." That seems like the only time I can actually write is when I'm going through something. I hate that, and I'm like, "Why can I not express myself in happy moments?" But it's just something that I'm still learning how to do myself. That,
and just like when I just need something, it'll be like one song that I have like on repeat at the moment that it'll help me. Mm-hmm. It might not make everything all right, but it'll just motivate me.
Mm-hmm.
And so if, you know, like I'm having a bad day at work, I just have an earbud in my ear and just play that song and all right, it's going to get me through to 5:00, you know? But it's just being able, my biggest thing was, talking to people, telling people. So like now, like with my relationship, she goes to a therapist, so she understands. So she knows exercises, so I can talk to her when I'm going through something. You know, you being that, not only do you understand, but we work in the same place.
Right.
You know, we got the same employer, so you know things. So just knowing that I can reach out when I need, you know, to vent. That helps.
It's important.
Yeah, previously.
For me, I relapsed when I when I moved to Columbia. You said something earlier about like when things that are normally in your schedule or in your routine is taken away, then you kind of like that's when you kind of get into a depression. And for me, moving here, everything changed. My rent, especially my responsibility, I should say my rent, well, not only my rent, but my responsibilities changed. I learned the hard way that I don't have it all together. Like, I thought that, especially after my divorce, and I convinced myself that I was good, and it was after my mom's death, and I'm like, okay, I'm finally free of this situation. I did my whole spiritual thing. I went through my whole exercise. I lost all this weight and I was healthier, physically healthier. And then I stopped all my rituals because my ego was like, oh, you good. Like, you don't got to exercise 5 days out of the week no more. You can eat this cake, this whole cake, because you had kale yesterday. Oh, you know, you down to your your dream weight, you're fine. And stop doing yoga. I did stop everything because I thought I had a handle on it. And then I moved and think my everything changed. Like I said, my responsibilities changed. I started having my children more because me and my their father was going through custody. My finances changed because I had to put out more money because I went to a more expensive area. And that, like, it was situational depression, but that shook me. And I, for about maybe 2 years, kind of just like slowly spiraled out of control. Like, when I say I lost it, my son just had a bad day at school and I flipped out. I didn't hit him, even though I had scared myself before because I got so mad over something and I hit him. I'm able to admit that now, but I won't hit him anymore. And I'm not saying I beat him up. Okay, no child protective service. I didn't pop him in and hit him in the head or anything. I just tore his behind up because he was showing out. I didn't like that. So I didn't hit him anything, but I overreacted. I called his father. It was like, I can't do this. You got to come get him. Next thing I'm crying. I'm like, oh, you got to take both of them because I can't do this. I don't know. I was lost. And that just seeing, I felt like I stopped being friends with one of my best friends.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I kind of stopped being, because she was going through her own things right there, and I just didn't have the capacity. If she's ever listening, like, it wasn't nothing personal. It was, I just didn't have it for anybody else. Like, we stopped talking. Like, I remember you got in my car. He's like, when you got in the car? I was like, a year ago. Like, it was like a minute ago. Like, I just stopped talking to everybody. Stopped going out. And then I was like,
you do know I talk to her, right?
I don't care.
No, like, about, yeah, like, oh. I tried to, like, see if
Minette.
She, it's, yeah,
it's cool.
But, I mean, it takes two, so, you know, whatever.
Because
I know, right. Like, it's like, not, it's, and that's the thing, I know it's no love lost, and that's why. But, yeah, I think, you know, and that's the thing, it's sad because it fell apart because of the fact that you guys kind of needed each other, and y'all weren't there. You're like, you know.
I take responsibility because I wasn't open. I wasn't asking for no help.
That's what I'm saying. It was like both of y'all's fault.
Yeah, she was.
You know,
yeah. No, if she was going through something, and she was like, she needed somebody, but I couldn't. I was going to do something, and I couldn't. Like, I didn't know how to express it, so I didn't know. I just, like, distanced myself, and I distanced myself from everybody. Like, it wasn't personal. It wasn't something like, oh, she did this, and it wasn't personal. I isolated myself. I shut all the way down. I kind of self-sabotaged my relationship, even though they definitely had their own issues. I wasn't fun to be around. I wasn't the carefree person that I'm usually am. I was just...
Yeah, he was like a 10-minute check-in. Like, you would just hang out and be gone.
Yeah. Like, even when we were riding together, I was like, all right, bye.
Like, I'm having this. All right, I'll swing through. You be late. And then, like, hey, Victoria. And then it'd be like, you turn... And Victoria already gone. Like,
it was
when
that.
She said she was gonna stop by, she showed her
I
face.
I stopped coming by. Like, it wasn't. It was horrible. Like now, my pride, I put that bitch in my back pocket. And like, you gotta sit down. Her and my ego. I have to ask for help now. Like, if I'm craving, like, one of my friends now, I call her all the time. Like, we gotta get up. I make sure I cultivate all my relationships. And I don't know if it's because I do that. I don't know. This whole relationship thing with me and relationships, I kind of like dive 10,000 feet in and engulf myself. But that's neither here nor there. I was like super stressed. But what got me out of it was like, okay, I'm not where I was when I was like my most spiritual, right after my mom's. Well, not right after. Maybe, like, it took my divorce to really kind of, like, get me on the spiritual path. I'm meditating now. I talk to my ancestors. I do my offering for my ancestors. I do my sage. I don't exercise because I'm still, well, now I have the time because it's fucking quarantine. But before, like maybe a month or so before, I was working so much, I didn't have the time to do so. But I'm aware that there's certain things that I have to do. I have to eat all right. I have to eat better. I have to get enough rest. Rest. This whole no sleep thing is bullshit. I have to.
Oh, this is what? Rise and grind?
Yeah. No. No. We got to sleep. You got to rest. Like, that's something that I do. Like, insomnia, too, is something that's a symptom. Like, I usually, like, stay up till 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning. I'm, like, a night owl. Now I go to bed at 10 o'clock. Like, I don't care. Unless I'm working, but now I'm not working, so I'm going to bed. Like, no. I want to talk about, like, the skills. We talk about mental health a lot and our experiences. I want to talk about the actual skills that you learn in therapy and, like, how it's helped you with your, like, learning coping mechanisms and stuff.
Just one major thing is speaking. Like you said, asking for help. Mm-hmm. Saying, I'm not happy with this.
Yes, finding your voice.
Yeah. I think a lot of the reason that we stay in depression is, especially in relationships and with jobs and stuff, when we're not happy, you don't tell anybody and you don't show it. Mm-hmm. You just go through the motion. Yeah. And so nobody knows that you're suffering. You're the only person that's struggling with it. Nobody else is.
Mm-hmm.
So definitely speaking up was like one of the biggest things. And then changing like bad behavior. Mm-hmm. Just, you know, instead of, like I said, going and saying, hey, I'm going to drink this. Going out for a walk or something. You know, doing something that's going to be more beneficial in the end than hurtful. Cognitive behavior, you know, just doing, instead of going down a road of bad behavior, doing things that are going to be good, which pretty much is why I've really got, I guess, am more busy now with things, with the Wild Out, with the podcast, with everything, just because as long as I'm developing something, working towards something good and beneficial, I don't have a lot of time to focus on what
I'm not happy.
Yeah. And so the change will come in time, which everything comes with time. But you're not sitting there only waiting and wishing for that one bad part.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's just cognitive behavior. That, and anybody who goes through any type of therapy, that's going to be, like, one of the skills that they go through is cognitive behavior.
Yeah. I agree. I learned that, too, and learned the difference between healthy and or active coping mechanisms and not active coping mechanisms. Like, worrying is not an active coping mechanism. That happens as a result of something happening. I'm being triggered by a situation or event. And then I start to worry. And in therapy, my last therapist, she taught me, she gave me like this diaphragm about like giving me other ways to, give me language, like Yang LeVincent says, give me the language to know that, okay, fear happens, you can worry, but an active coping mechanism is to expect, to already know what's going to happen. Like if I'm dealing with my children's father, our relationship hasn't been the best, so I already know, like, he's going to trigger me because of what we've been through. I already anticipate the trigger before talking to him, so I do deep breathing. I like to I even do it with my kids. I'm like, all right, you pissed off, you can be pissed off, but it's not okay for you to lash out. Even with myself, we got to breathe through it. Count to 10. I count backwards from 200. I don't know why 200. I get confused after I get to like 197, and I'm like, all right, I'm good. I'm bullshit. No, not 197, but like I start getting like tripped up and I'm like, what am I arguing? Like what's the problem? I breathe. I stop. Like, no, we say shit. It's like I thought shit come out of my mouth. Like, bow.
Yeah.
So I've been working on my tact. I say this all the time. I'll pause before I say something. I'm not great at it because it's in my nature to just think and it's come out of my mouth. But I worked on that from therapy just to stop and think before I say something or react to anything. I've gotten validation. And I've also got, she gave me like a list of emotions, which sounds slow and stupid, but it really helps me because it's not just I'm mad and sad, happy. It's other emotions yeah. out there that you like, you're depressed. Or like I said, I don't say that I don't know if I said this on the thing, but I say this, that I'm not depressed. I have moments of depression. That way I don't feel like I'm defined by it. And I know that life is cycles. Everything's gonna come and go. So I know that, I did learn that in therapy also. And then the shows and stuff like I consume has taught me to just be present. Like being present and vulnerable in the moment, like goes a long way. Especially with somebody like me that likes to like breeze over my emotions. Like, oh, my feelings were hurt. Oh, I ain't gonna let this nigga see me sweat. Like, I'm big on being defensive. And instead of being defensive, I'm not okay. Like you said, I'm not okay with it. Yeah. I'm not okay with how you talked to me. I'm not okay with what you did. And speaking up for myself, I found my voice, and using it is something that my last therapist has actually taught me. She was like, you're not responsible for this person. And I'm like, you know what? I know that. Why I ain't saying this person that? You know what I'm saying? Just keeping it 100 and being self-reflective and aware of yourself. Like, I'm aware of myself physically. Like I said, I can feel myself ovulate, but when it comes to my emotions, I'm like, why am I upset? And if I have a reaction that's out of the ordinary, because I'm really an upbeat type of person, if I got an attitude, I got to explore that. I can't just like let that just slide. I got to like, why are you feeling this way? I was told to get more rest. Let's see, deep breathing, anticipation what's coming, finding solutions. Like, if I can't deal with it or I can't fix it right now, then I just kind of like, okay, it is what it is. Like, in accepting, like,
it can't be changed.
It can't be changed. This is horrible. You're going to be late on rent. And no need to, there's no need to even go down this spiral. Like, and I visualize myself all the time now. If I'm about to, I can feel myself about to go jumping off this motherfucking ledge. And I'm like, hold up, bitch. Let's back it up real quick. Like, let's talk. I talk myself down all the time. Talking to yourself is not crazy. Like, that's how you become self-aware of who you are and what you want. Also, finding out what I want, that's important, that I've learned in therapy. Like, you can have whatever you want. If you want to be a stripper, I don't know, be a stripper, go be a stripper. If you want to be in a marriage, like, be in a marriage, but know what it is, what you want, and be able to verbalize that. Verbalize and talk about it, and don't settle for something that's not it, if that's what you really want. Do you think, like, because I know I've had a black therapist, I also had a white therapist. Do you think, like, the representation matters when it comes to therapy?
Yeah. In my experience, like, the first therapist that I had that connected with me was a black woman. Mm. And she ended up moving her practice, so that's how we stopped. You know, I stopped seeing her. But the one that I'm currently with and the one that I think really I connect with, uh-huh. My psychiatrist, actually, when I got diagnosed with ADHD, he said, I have, you know, a counselor who I think will work good for you. And he, like I said, why I appreciate my counselor and my therapist is they don't pressure you with anything. When he assigned them to me, he said, if you don't like them, let me know. We'll switch them. Even when I go now, when we follow up for my meds and stuff, mm-hmm. how's things going? But my counselor is a black male who also suffers from ADHD. And so not only does he have the same the diagnosis that I have, but he's a black male. So he knows the experience that I'm having. So it's things where, you know, I can say and he will know that maybe it's not. It's something that may come from our culture. I remember one of the most profound things he said to me was, you know, they give black men the gift. And thinking that, you go of all the stereotypes, oh, the big penis, when we run fast, da, da, da. And he said, no. Heart disease, high cholesterol. You know, and it's things of, from being black, it's things that we are
susceptible to.
You know, and it was just like, you know, being shot by cops. It's like things, and it was just so profound that, yeah, it's a gift and a curse to be a black male. But I think that's a lot as far as with opening up to somebody. To if it's somebody who looks like you, mm-hmm. it's easier. Mm-hmm. I think if I had like a white lady, I wouldn't fit. I would take what she says with a grain of salt more, because you're a white lady. Mm-hmm. You're not a male. You're not black. Mm-hmm. How can you know what I'm struggling with?
Right.
With him looking like me, I can take his and say, okay, he's probably experienced this most likely. Mm-hmm. I can trust what he says. Mm-hmm. And so I feel like I can tell him more.
Right.
So yeah, I do think representation. Now, am I saying that a white lady wouldn't be good? No, right. I'm not. But I think that, especially for somebody who's probably is not been through a therapist before, I would suggest that they look into somebody who looks more like them.
Mm, at least culturally, yeah.
Yeah, and being as pro-black as I am.
I'm bleeding black. Black.
I'm proud of him. You know, because I do feel like he knows what he's talking about. And the fact that I don't have no problem supporting him.
Right.
Giving him my money for helping me out. But, yeah, if he was doing something wrong, yeah, I would have no issue with going. But that once I saw that, it was kind of a reassurance. Like, okay, mm-hmm. let me listen to what he has to say now.
Right.
To
speak on that whole, the story you tell me about, like, the ADHD being, like, kind of like a superpower. Like,
yeah, and that's what, like, he described, he said he hates that it's called attention deficit disorder. Mm-hmm. Because with ADHD, a lot of what it is your senses are heightened. So when they say your attention deficit, it's not a deficit. It's just your attention is the detail. So when you hear something, you pay attention to that because you have to find out what that is. Or when you see a bright color, your attention goes. And what it is primitive humans, when we were fending for ourselves, when we weren't domesticated, that was your protective mechanism. Mm-hmm. You paid attention. If you heard a noise, it could be a predator. So you had to protect yourself. If there was a change in the scenery, something could be hiding there. So what they did was they did an experiment. It was in somewhere in Africa where they took 30 men who had ADHD and were domesticated, 30 men who didn't have and were domesticated. And the percentage of men that were who didn't suffer malnutrition or any type of who didn't suffer any type of fallback as far as their health and mm-hmm. well-being, the percentage of that was very different mm-hmm. in the sets because the people with ADHD were able to adapt faster in that life. So he hates that it's a disorder because it's technically not. We're at an advantage, which is funny being that the time that we're in, we would probably be the ones that would most likely, because we are going to pay attention to those small things that people might not.
Mm-hmm. I agree with you on that whole representation matters. I remember I had a white lady as a therapist once, and she was cool, but I didn't, like you said, I didn't feel comfortable disclosing everything to her because I didn't feel like she will understand, and I was also afraid like she will report what was going on, because like being in an abusive relationship, it gets dark sometimes. Like even though she's a therapist and I'm sure she's heard some crazy shit, I was like, no, white lady, you're not gonna get me.
Yeah.
But and I just thinking about it, at first I was like, not it, in my experience it really didn't matter because I found both of them great, but then I realized that I took more away from the black lady therapist that I had than the white lady, because I just kind of like vented to the white lady and I didn't really get any skills from her. The black lady that I did go to, she was very helpful. I got skills from her and I felt more comfortable. I disclosed that I dealt with, a sexual trauma growing up. And I also, was able to disclose about my physical abuse in my relationship. And, which liberated me, but it was more comfortable with her. I like to, I'm blickety black also. All black. Like, my president black, everybody black in my eyes. Not really. But I think the support in the local, I don't know why I keep saying local, support in those businesses is essential, and getting like our community to actually start going to therapy and seeing it is not something that, it's just as important to take care of your mental health than it is your any other health, like your physical health. Which makes me, which goes into our next question, our last one about the topic. Why do you think it's like a stigma in our community, the black community, that mental health is like, or therapy is bad?
I think because we're all, it's like we're taught to be a strong race. You know, like you know, your ancestors were slaves and they survived that.
Oh,
and,
God.
You know, we survived the marches and getting attacked by dogs, and you're having a bad day. No, you can't. You're not allowed to have a bad day because they had worse days.
Right.
And so when you do say, hey, I don't think I can get through this, people see it as a weakness. I think, with men, especially, I think with the emasculation of the black male, it's been pushed so far down our throats. And I'm not trying to say the whole, this new media making black men seem gay and stuff like that. I'm talking about way before that.
Right.
But it's pushed to where a man showing any kind of reaching out for help is, he's going to be ridiculed.
Mm-hmm.
Not only by his fellow men, but even in relationships.
Yeah, his woman.
That's why I'm happy with my relationship in that aspect of, I can say, hey, I can express, okay, hey, I'm going through this, and she understands, and I don't have to worry about if we have an argument. Oh, this is the motherfucker that cried. Da da da. You know what I'm saying? She's not going to throw that up in my face, but. I can't say that for every relationship.
Right.
I can't say that for every relationship that I've been in. So I know I can't say that for every relationship that's out there. 100%. So I think that is the stigma. And I think it's something that we need to get over with, because
we're dying.
I mean, think about the, who is the Soul Train guy? Committed suicide.
Because he was depressed.
Yeah. He was committed because he was sick. And it was, he didn't want, Alex Trebek is still holds in jeopardy, and he's got like stage 4 cancer.
Right.
But his mental, he's okay with it. Like, why can't we do the same? Mm-hmm. The Jet Jackson.
Yeah.
He was just like, he
that
like
was my boo girl now.
Yeah, that was like one of my best friends. Like, she was so in love with him.
Oh, yeah.
And it's just, it's sad because you it's have the finances to get help, but it's just because it's seen as a weakness. Nobody knew. Nobody, right. And it's like, just people are there to help you. It's okay. And, yeah. You know, and like I said, when I had, you know, my moment and I looked at my dad and my dad, that's the first time I saw defeat in my dad's eyes. Like, he didn't know what to do because it's not something that you dealt with.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, it just, I feel like we need to just, that stigma, and I applaud Charlamagne for everything that he does.
Yeah, Charlamagne is awesome.
But yeah, we as a culture, we need to get into these people's office, sit down and talk, man. Like,
I think we need talk therapy. I don't like Dr. Umar is a lot. That's all I would say. But he did make a point about like us needing talk therapy and to be able to feel comfortable. He was on an interview with the Breakfast Club once. Like, we needed to feel comfortable with sitting down and talking to somebody. Because, like I said, I didn't disclose that I had, like, I wouldn't even say a sexual, like, trauma or something as a child. But it changed some shit. Like, it may have changed some shit. I don't know if it was the stem of some things that happened with me. But it damn sure, it happened. And I didn't feel comfortable talking to this white lady about it. But I did... Because she went through this like the series of questions, like this questionnaire, and she asked me, and without hesitation, I went ahead and told her. And I knew that she wasn't going, like, it wasn't going to get repeated, or I didn't know that, like, my children were going to get, because you think about DSS and all this other stuff, and, like, I don't, like, no, because I have not just protecting myself, I had to protect my children. I think that the stigma, like, we, like you said, it's looked at as a weakness, like, or we're crazy. Like, in my family, we crazy all the time. Like, I just remember growing up here, like, my aunt testifying in church, and, like, my grandmother's sister was like, you don't have to tell everybody what you're going through all the time. Like, everybody goes through something. Yeah. Everybody does. And just because vulnerability, like, I like Brene Brown talking about shame and vulnerability, like, that... shaming ourselves to not connect, like we're not getting anything out of not being vulnerable and being 1,000% with ourselves and other people, because we, even though I didn't get like a lot of skills out of that therapy session, I still was able to connect with this lady on a human level, you know what I'm saying? I think that it's the trauma is passed down. Like I said, I saw my mom and my dad fighting each other. I dealt with being physically abused. My children have to deal with seeing me being physically abused. Like, I can't change the minds of the previous generations, but it's damn sure important to make sure my sons are equipped with coping mechanisms, because I didn't know how to deal with what I saw. We never talked about it after that. Like, I don't even think my mom or my dad. I even told that to my dad once, and he was like, he didn't even know how to react like to it. So like, I can see him in the addiction that he's dealing with. It's only a symptom to the trauma that he dealt with as a child that wasn't addressed. I dealt with trauma from a child that wasn't addressed. I don't want that for my children. So it's essential for us to have these conversations, to open up to each other, to let us know that you're not alone, to be able to being validated and heard is like everything to me. I do my best to listen to my children when they're sad. My youngest son had a transition period where he was with me and left me in an abrupt situation because I had my own thing, went to move with his dad, and his dad moving away, and he not getting to see his dad's side of the family as often as he wanted to. So it manifested in school. Like, he had no interest. This is new school. He doesn't have any of his brothers with him. And I saw, like, him struggle to gain friends and everything. And the teacher was like, well, he's not catching on. And I was like, do you understand he's 8? Like, yeah. He's been through some shit. Like, allow him to grow. Allow him that space. I'm not pressuring him about schoolwork. I want him to cultivate relationships, because at the end of the day, he just wanted to be belong. He wanted to be belong in his class. And I saw that and I was like, that's, I feel the same way as a 32-year-old adult. And I know many adults just want to be seen and heard and validated and feel like you belong. Like, you are not alone. It's important that we have conversations. It's important that you're not crazy. You're not bad shit fool. It is normal to be triggered and be traumatized and deal with grief. We're not taught these things in school. We're not taught these things by our parents. So that's why it's our responsibility to have conversations like this, to go seek out help, to talk to each other and learn ways to get through this.
And I think a big thing too is, and I hate when I see this, when you got a lot of hip hop heads, older hip hop heads, who are like, this new music, they're just doing, you know, they're just glorifying drugs and it's like, no, like, these kids are crying for help. Yeah. Like, music is going to be a reflection of the time.
Right.
These kids, you know, these kids is ODing is because they're upset. If you listen to this music, like, this is very depressing music. These kids are young. Mm-hmm. They're losing their friends out in the streets.
Right.
You know, they're coming from broken homes and stuff. Right. And they're putting it out in their music, because music has always been about the reality of what they see around them. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, instead of judging, oh, well, you know, I can't get down with this. No, listen to the fact that it's something going on. And if they're making the music, they're selling these records. And people are going to these shows. So there's other kids who are connecting with this. So it's a bigger issue than you know, people are realizing it. So I think we just got to look at it on a bigger scale as, We have to take this seriously, because, you know, it's not going to get better if we don't do anything about it.
Yeah, we are each other's business. Like, I know I'm private. We're private people. Like, we don't really tell. Like, I either tell a whole bunch of everything or I ain't telling nothing at all. And I'm taking it to the grave. But, like, we are each other's business. You see something, like, even hearing music, like, I think about The Weeknd. Somebody in his circle needs to, like, pull him to the side and make him go somewhere. Like, you're gonna end up like Amy Winehouse. They tried to make me go to rehab. Like, people thought that shit was funny, but that's real life. Like, like, had somebody had to, like, consistently, or she had to be able to reach out to people, she might have not died. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, these kids, and then our kids are listening to these songs. I remember hearing my son sing a Juice WRLD, and I was like, yo, this, even, what's that Roddy Ricch song? The Rock Wave, whatever that song is.
Oh, yeah.
That song is depressing as fuck.
Yeah, I mean, and that's the thing. Like, it's Lil TJ Brothers, and he says, I done been through so much, I don't even feel anymore. Like, you're a teenager, dude.
Right.
And, like, these kids, they know these lyrics up and down. You don't listen to music because it's hot. You listen to music because you can relate to it. So imagine if your child is singing that. That means that they're going through this, too. Mm-hmm. It might not be the exact, but that music is hitting some part of them where they can relate.
Because I don't listen to nothing I can relate to.
Exactly. So, you know, we need to pay attention to things that, you know, we're surrounded by. And just especially because, you know, and it's been in rock and roll. It's been in that, you know, that culture. It's now in hip hop. So that means that our kids are now wanting to talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
So if they're able to talk about it, then yeah, grown ups, man, y'all need to man up. You know, let's get this out.
Like, just be.
No, I'm just saying, like, be able to, be, you know, vulnerable. Let's, yeah, show that up. Like Charlamagne says, like, we need to talk about mental health, like the black male especially
but, you know, dealing with your mommy and your daddy issues. Please, like, black women are begging you to find a coping mechanism to deal with your mommy and daddy issues. Please, thank you. We're gonna end on that note, though. Love you, black man. Well, before we do end, we want to make sure that we give resources. We want to do all this talking about stuff and not giving solutions also. If you are someone that is dealing with any type of mental health issues, depression, suicidal thoughts, anxiety, there is free resources out there. If you want to call, you can call someone 800-273-TALK. It's TALK.
And that's the suicide prevention hotline.
It's 800-273-TALK. There's also a hotline that's 800-662-HELP that's out there. You can also call in someone, I think, I'm assuming that's 24/7, so you can call and get someone at any time of the day. Free resources. There's also the Substance Abuse Mental Health Administration.
That's that number.
Oh, that's that number. 800-662-HELP. Call those people. If you also, I'm going to put myself out there. If you need somebody to talk to, you can find me at Vic Moses on Facebook. My name on Instagram is, my personal page is where the, dang, what is my personal
wild
page?
Things.
Yeah, thank you. Where the Wild Things Are. Wildest with three eyes. Hit me up there. On Twitter, I'm Victoria the God, and Snapchat, Victoria the God. Also, DM me.
And also on our page, we have a profile page as well. Centaur Views. Also, my Facebook is Trey. That's T-R-E. No Sense Fleming, and my Instagram is No Sense Comedy. And then also, there's an app. Michael Phelps is actually a spokesperson for Talkspace that can connect you to psychiatrists, people that you can talk to. And also with employers.
You can go to your, if you're an employee, most employees have an EAP that gives you a certain amount of free therapy sessions. I know our employer has an EAP that gives you 3 free therapy sessions a year. And it renews every year without you even having to do anything. There's also this website that I found my therapist. Well, no, I didn't find my therapist off of. It was a referral. But my therapist, I think she is on this website. But it's called therapyforblackgirls.com. You put in your zip code and they'll give you a listing of therapists in your area. There for Columbia, there are some on there. I called a few. They didn't work for my schedule, but there's groups out here that are just Black-owned therapists that's right here in our city that you can go to.
And then also as well, for those people who where you may not feel comfortable actually walking into an office, if you have insurance, call your insurance carrier and see if they have where you can do virtual visits. So what that'll do is it'll be the same as if you were going into an office visit, except you have like a one-on-one conversation through like a Skype session or a FaceTime app through your phone. You know, that would, if you feel like you're not up to, you know, being in the office with other people. But there are a lot of outlets, options that you have if you need help. Like we said, you have both of our personal contacts.
And you have to be resourceful. Like, I get therapy from watching Iyanla Vincent, Brene Brown. Like, I know Oprah's in the hot water right now, but Oprah has a slew of Sunday Soul services that you can watch in DVR or YouTube. Charlemagne's books. You can go to, there's a meditation app called Calm that I use. Sister Care was a group that I, that's in locally also, that offers group sessions that I adore. I forgot to talk about Miss E and Sister Care. So yeah, shout out for Sister Care. They helped me out a lot also.
So just if you need to use these resources, use them. If you know somebody, please reach out to them. And also just, like we said, continue to cultivate those relationships and, you know, check up on not only your strong friends, but all of your friends who, you know, may or may not be going through this. Because depression is not a sickness that you wear on your sleeve.
Everybody goes through something, and that's all right. All right, we're signing out right now. Take care of yourself. Be blessed. Peace. So this week's spotlight, Sagittarius, of course, is Miss Tiffany Haddish. Tiffany was born on December 3rd, 1979. She is a fellow Sagittarius. We picked her because of her story. Like Tiffany went on the Breakfast Club. That's the first time I actually heard her story. She was talking about how her mom got into a car accident, and she actually had to take care of herself and her children, her siblings and her mother, like teach her mom how to walk and talk, and while doing that had to deal with physical and verbal abuse from her mom. She also talked about her sexual trauma and where she was raped at 17. She's very vocal about going through therapy and using her comedy as an outlet for her to deal with the things that she's dealt with. She has gone on to make hits like Girls Trip,
which was, her breakout role.
Yeah.
She was also in Keanu, which is quietly one of the best comedy movies I've ever seen, honestly. But
I don't think I've seen that.
You gotta watch it. Okay. But she was also had a role on the Carmichael Show.
I love that show.
If you haven't seen that, you need to Hulu that.
It's a certain type of funny that not everybody's gonna get though.
You just gotta watch it to see if it's yours, because I guarantee you once you watch it, you'll be addicted. She's been endorsed by Kevin Hart among others. She's one of those people that, like, her spotlight just keeps growing.
Either you're going to love her or hate her. That's kind of like our Sagittarius thing. Either you're going to love her or hate her. Like, most Sagittarius women I really don't cultivate towards, because I don't know if it's an alpha female type thing, but, yeah, you're going to either love us or hate us.
So shout out to Tiffany Haddish.
Shout out.
Top five. So, all right. So our top five for this is going to be our top five ways that me and Victoria personally deal with our depressive bouts. So, Victoria, you want to go first?
I can't really, like, mine's not really in any particular order. I guess number five, Actually, I had one order, but I'm going to switch it around. Number five is sex. Like, when I'm stressed... Shut up! Like, when I'm stressed and when I'm going through, like, all I need is to bust a nut real quick. And everything is majority Gucci. Like, I don't see sex as taboo as other people. I love sex. Like, I really do. And I feel like it's not just an outlet just to be promiscuous. Like, I was about to call you Latravius. No Sense said last week, like, being promiscuous hoe. Like, it's not about that. It's about, like, sharing. It's more intimate for me. Like, even the... For me now, even if it's somebody that I'm not in an intimate relationship with, I make the moment intimate myself. That's why I'm very good at it.
This is not a commercial.
It's not a commercial for but hit me up on Facebook dating, because you know I'm single and shit. But doesn't necessarily mean I'm a fucking dumb. But that for me is, I'm a whole woman. I like it. And that helps out a lot. So whether it's, like, I'm Rihanna, whether it's with me or with somebody else, it's always great. So, number four, though, what do I do? Movements. I have to dance. Like, either I'm dancing in my house or I'm dancing, me and my homegirl, we're going to the bar or club. Like, I gotta go dance. Like, I know I'm, like, 32. It's like, oh, you still out every weekend partying? Yep. Because I need to dance, like, and it makes me feel good. I like to shake my ass. I cannot dance. I say I don't dance, but I like to shake my ass, and because I'm hip, like, I'm
hippie.
I'm hippie, very hippie. That, and then the root chakra, and the root chakra for women. I don't want to go in the whole thing, but it's like seven chakras, or maybe not. I'm not sure right now, but the root chakra is always like a difficult spot for me. That's normally closed, and moving my hips helps my root chakra open up. So I love to dance. I like to do Zumba. I actually want to be a Zumba instructor. I might be doing that online now since we're in quarantine. I've been thinking about that. But I'm not a dancer, but I like to dance. I just like it just as a hobby and the stuff that help me release some of this energy. So that's four. Number three is cultivate my relationships. Me and my best friend had this thing. It's like we asked permission before we start venting. It was like, are you okay? Are you in the mental space to receive the shit that I got to lay out on the table? Because if you're not, I'm going to call you back later, bitch. But I need to talk. Call me back. But I have to now. I'm initiating. I don't wait around for my friends to call me. I call them. Or my family. My family's very important to me now. They've always been important to me, but we've had our moments like every other family. And even now, I know that I've changed because me and my sister, my younger sister, we're 18 months apart. We have our moments where we're like oil and water, but now I've come to the point where I can open up and be vulnerable to her and likewise and not get aggravated and want to be the ass. Love you, Ash. number two, I do this thing where I have a playlist. It's a love playlist, nothing but love songs. And what I do is I light candles. Like, I make love to myself. Not just in the sense of sex, but shut up.
I didn't even say that.
You look like you want to say something. But I treat myself like I would treat a partner of mine. Even if I'm within a relationship, I'll light candles. I'll have something good to eat. I'll massage oil on myself. I can take a hot, long, extra shower, and I'll sing love songs to myself. I'll be in the room, like, you're the one for me. Like, that's how it's serious. I'll be, like, Beyonce singing to myself. Well, that helps out a lot because I need love, too. And number one is I think it's spirituality. I put it being nature, but it kind of coincides with spirituality for me. Spirituality, right after my mom died, is what kind of like I would renounce Christianity. I was growing up United Methodist in the church, choir, ushering, acolyte, and doing all the whole nines. I baptized when I was a baby and again when I was a teenager by choice. But after my mom died, I was over it. So, because I was the most religious then before her death, and then after she died I was like, what the fuck did I do all that for? And she still died. But getting back to that and returning back to my, I guess, like African spirituality, and honoring my ancestors and praying to my ancestors, getting out in nature and getting connected with the earth. And sometimes I will go outside and just stand up and look up at the sky and realize like my problems are small compared to the enormous world we live in. It's like, I'm just one little speck in this great big scheme of a world. Like, it ain't that deep. Like, it's never that deep. It's never that deep. But I like to go and take my shoes off and earth, like, take my shoes off and feel the ground up under me. I saw a movie once where the dude, he was stressed out. He had a pail. I cannot remember what the movie was, but he had a pail of sand from the beach on this balcony. It was like in a city, maybe New York. But he'll go on his not balcony, the top of the roof, and sit and put his feet into the sand. And like, it's scientifically proven that connecting with the earth helps your and build your boost your endorphins, so you feel good. So getting vitamin the recommended or getting enough vitamin D, being out in the sun helps. Being near water helps me. Meditating on the grass, taking a hike. We did a hike yesterday. It was much needed. Like, even though we were supposed to be quarantined, it was just eight of us, so we were good according to Trump standards. You know, you're only supposed to have like 10 people.
I don't think Trump has standards, but okay.
Our president said 10, so we had eight of us, and we went on the motherfucking hike because I could not sit in the house on a Saturday at all. But and worshiping to my ancestors. Getting my altar together. I have an altar with my ancestors. A lot of people kind of think that's witchcraft, but it's really not. I don't subscribe to Jesus anymore. He's my homeboy. Jesus Christ is my nigga. Yeah, don't at me about that. Jesus Christ is my nigga and all, but
He wasn't who they say he was.
I pray to my mama. I pray to my grandmother. I pray to my great grandmother, my cousin that died on my birthday when I was in high school. Like, I pray to these people that know me. I know them. And I remember when I was going through the whole thing with my son, I was like, I'm asking my mom in the sky, I was like, how the fuck did you raise four children? Like, and I got two, and I'm like, I'm not doing great right now. So honoring them, worshiping them, praying to them has, that's the biggest thing for me. Yeah.
So for my top five, of course, number five is video games. I'm an avid gamer. But also, like I was talking to you, like especially with younger kids.
Yes, I was complaining about my children's time on Fortnite.
But a lot of I'm not really a social gamer, but I have seen where there are relationships formed on social gaming, teamwork, like Call of Duty style, where you know you form friendships that are not, they're outside of your school or. You know, so there is a camaraderie there. So I feel like video games, they're not bad like people say they are. Actually can, you know, help kids who, you know, they aren't as social at school. Mm-hmm. But for me, when I'm angry, I play more of like a football or a UFC, something a little bit hard hitting.
Mm-hmm.
But just something that I can concentrate on that just lets me kind of forget about, you know, the outside world. Number four is a change of scenery. Ideally it would be like a vacation, but you don't always have the resources, the time to go on vacation. But just, you know, like I can call like my mom and be like, yo, can I come to your house for, you know, a while? You know, or I just call up a friend and say, hey, let's hang out. Just something different than these four walls. You know, so even if, you know, you say, you know, you go to work and you say, hey, can I just sit at this desk? You know, just mm-hmm. something out of the ordinary. Because a lot of the depression is the mundane things over and over. Number three is music. Like you said, a playlist, certain, you know, there's certain songs that, you know, they always are going to take you back to like good times or good memories.
Mm-hmm.
So you listen to that. When I'm feeling down, I don't really like listen to, you know, any like down, like you don't want to listen to like DMX Slipping or something like that. Like, you know, you don't want to listen to something like that, but just like some feel good stuff or some motivation stuff. Just, you know, to make you realize that, you know, it's somewhere out there somebody can relate, but then also, like, it's going to be a tomorrow.
Yeah. I want to add before you move on that what a habit that I do, and I got to keep doing it, like, in the morning time, I always put on my speaker. I have a car speaker in my living room, so I put on the speaker, like, any motivational daggone songs and wake the kids up. They know it's time to get up when the music start playing. Like, it's always something. Even Drake is some cocky ass shit or some motivational shit playing early in the morning because I want to set the tone for all our days. We about to go to get down to business.
Yeah, we're going to have a conversation about you have a car speaker in your living room when we get finished. But okay. Number two is exercise. Like, I'm not a gym rat or anything. If you see me in real life, you can tell. But like, just sometimes, like, just like to go in like a gym, because for a lot of people, when you go into a gym, you don't bother people, you know what I'm saying? Nobody bothers you there.
Yeah,
you know, you just in your element, you got your headphones in, like, you can just go like on a bike for like 25 hours or a treadmill, or you know, just sometimes just like going for a walk around the neighborhood. Just that, you know, that can just help so much. Because you're moving your body and getting your mind off at the same time. So it's a physical and mental, you know, coping mechanism. And I don't think there's any doctor that will argue that, you know, against that. Number one is something that I've done. Wow. I can't even remember how long I've been doing it, but it's public isolation. And what it is basically I may tell like one person, a close friend who I know, you know, if my depression is linked with somebody, I'm not going to tell them, but just a close person that I know that they know if, you know, if I say I'm leaving at 3 o'clock, they know by like 8 or 9 o'clock that night, if they hadn't heard back from me, then they need to contact, you know, my mom or whoever to check on me. But I say, hey, I'm headed out here. So I might head out to the mall, you know, but I'm by myself. So I'm doing things where I'm not, nobody is dependent on me. Mm-hmm. My time is on me, and, you know, and a lot of times strangers are often more sincere than the people that you see every day because we take each other for granted. So, you know, you may go somewhere and, you know, people, they speak, they say hello. Mm-hmm. And so you might just be out and you're sitting by yourself and, you know, somebody's serving you a drink and they mm-hmm. make a small conversation and they don't know anything about you. So they're, you know, they're not going to be interested. They're just making small talk. And so for me, it's kind of combines the chain of scenery type, mm-hmm. but it just, you don't, it's being alone without being alone. Mm-hmm. And that way, because when you are alone, your mind can get stuck thinking bad thoughts.
Yeah, I didn't realize that I did the same thing by going to the grocery store every day. Like, yeah. And when I go get up in the morning, well, not, like I meditate. My mom used to do that, getting up in the morning and go sit in the bathroom before everybody else wake up. Like, that's her meditation. She'll smoke a cigarette. Like, I do that now. And I do that all the time going to the store. Like, I only go to the store and get what I need to cook for that night. And then I'm in the grocery store again the next day because I need to decompress from work to home.
Yeah. And so it's like, you know, like I know like a lot of females, like when they get home, they'll sit in their car mm-hmm. and they won't go in. So it's kind of like that.
Yeah.
Except, you know, you just out in public.
Yeah.
And for me, I'm not as social a person.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't really, you know, going out isn't a big thing as far as like going out with my friends to a club or something. If I am hanging out with my friends, 9 times out of 10, we're at one of their houses. So just being out in public is already going to be a change of scenery. Mm-hmm. So just seeing just strangers walking, not having to worry about them and they're not concerned about me. It's just people being people.
Go at the lake.
That just is soothing to me, and it just helps alleviate any type of depression. So, yeah, but that's it. We will see you guys next week.
Thank you for listening to our show and our long show. This is definitely a 2-part series. Thank you. If you need any resources or want to follow up, please hit us up at Centaur Views on Facebook. We also have an Instagram page, and I think we're going to get a Twitter. Not sure yet.
We also have CentaurViews at Gmail.
Yes, email us at centaurviews@gmail.com if you want to talk, you want some more information, and just give us feedback about our show. Thank you again for listening.
Peace.
Peace.
Believe in yourselves. Dream. Try. Do good.
Don't you mean do well?
No, I mean do good. Do good.